Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys Real Talk, back with another episode. We're rocking Leaf here. I'm here. We're just going to shoot right into it. What's going on, bro?
Oh, man, nothing, man. Just hanging in there, man. How you doing?
Chilling, chilling. I just gotta move from this position in the kitchen. You know what I mean? They don't want us to thrive, bro. They want the chair getting stuck on the tiles and shit. I can't have that. We got to move in here. Got to get better sound quality. You know what I mean? I got to have it right. So.
Okay. Because I'm trying out some new headphones tonight. Normally, I use my Bluetooth speaker, but I was like, man, I want to try out these new headphones I got. So, yeah, I'm going to give these a shot.
Yeah, usually that'll be like, it's really noise canceling when you do that.
Yeah.
That's probably not a lot of noise canceling effects as far as the audio on the show. You know, it's just going to be you. You're not going to have any minor feedback or anything like that. So that'll be good.
Yeah. Because, you know, my house is pretty quiet anyway, so.
usually sound fine anyways. I'm talking about people that are, like, maybe listening on, you know, a car speaker or something, or, like, AirPods. What I noticed, like, as an artist, like, AirPods, Apple AirPods pick up, like, probably the best sound quality. This might sound like, but I think AirPods, like, if you want the true sound quality of anything, like, and really hear the detail, like, you go to the AirPods. Like, that'll really tell you where, you know, what's in your audio. You know what I mean? Because that's how I like to test. Like, the car test is big, but AirPods, like, those will really tell anybody what something sounds like. So, but no, usually sound good. Usually sound fine.
Yeah, I heard the same thing about AirPods, man. I guess it's just something about something being inside my ear that I just can't get with. I like the over-the-ear headphones. That's my preference. But, hey, I feel, you know, I have heard that about the AirPods, though. But look, man, let's jump into it, man. We got a lot to talk about tonight, man.
Yeah, and on that note, I mean, I like to keep the – I have a pair of Dre Studios that I keep at the crib. I don't really – sometimes I wear them to the gym, and, like, sometimes I wear them, like, going somewhere, but I don't really like to because I feel like, you know, if I were to ever get robbed or anything, I wouldn't really want to get my Dre Beats headphones stolen. That would be something I would hate to lose. Or, like, not even get robbed. But that's one factor, but, like, to forget them somewhere or something like this. I would much rather, like, lose my AirPods. You know, I would be more okay with that than losing the Dre Beats because, like, that's my shit right there. I love those. So that's, like, you know, that's one of my babies. You know, I don't want to lose those ever. Those are dope headphones, so... Yeah, that's how we go, but, yo, yeah, you're right. We got a lot, and Rob Whittaker just fought this past weekend. Cyril Gane and Tuivasa just had pretty much a classic. They pretty much just had a classic, if we're being real. That was a classic heavyweight fight right there, and we're going to have to talk about that. And then UFC 279 is on Saturday. We're going to have to talk about that. Our boy Tony Ferguson's on the car. We're going to talk about that. So there's a few things going here. Nate Diaz dropped the interview, I think, yesterday or the day before. And, yeah, he had a lot of different things he was saying on there. So I don't know if you saw any of that. We could talk about that. But where do you want to start at? I'm going to say this. Never mind. How you feel about Whittaker's performance on Saturday? You saw the fight?
Man, I thought he I was a little bit worried in the first round. I said, man, he looked like he had a slow start. And then he started turning it on. And then he turned it on a little bit more. Then he ratcheted it up a little bit more. And before you knew it, man, Marvin Vettori, he was just overwhelmed. You know, Vettori is always better when he's the one coming forward. But when he's being back, when he's fighting off his back foot and being pressed, he just doesn't look like the same fighter. And when Whittaker started pressing him and pushing forward and started kicking, Vettori just seemed like he was like, man, he had no answers. But once again, you feel bad for Robert Whittaker, man, because he's in a tough spot. Because I don't see the UFC giving him another shot at Adesanya. So what do you do with him? Because he done beat everybody basically in the top 10. So it's like he's in this strange little place right now, unless he moves up to 205. Or I don't see him being able to make 170. So it's just sad to see, man, a guy of his talent, of his skill set, being stuck in this place. But I still think he's a quality fighter. I think he deserves another shot at Adesanya, because if he keeps beating all these guys in the top 10, there's no way of denying him, just like Dana gave Tony Ferguson. Not Tony Ferguson, gave my boy Holloway a third fight against Volk. So maybe he can get a third fight, Keys. But overall, I thought he had a great performance against Vittori. But I was worried by the start of the fight, but I was pleased by the end of the fight.
And I think that's the reason why you see Whitaker now talking about 205 and that he would be interested in moving up. He said he wants progress and he wouldn't mind testing out 205, because he probably is thinking that too. Like, oh, even if I keep winning here, like, I already lost twice. You know, I don't know if Dana's going to want to put me in there again, even though I would do it. So he's like, let me go check out 205. I feel like that's what he's thinking at this point. And so for me, it was kind of nice, because I was kind of texting. I was texting people. I was tweeting out, and I missed a lot of the first round. I think I was even trying to post a picture of the two of them squaring off, like, in that first round. I was trying to get that up on my story. And, on my social media, and I had missed a lot of the first round just doing that stuff, you know, responding to tweets and texts about the fight. And by the time I looked up, it was the start of the second, it was in between rounds to go to the second round. And so I couldn't tell you what happened in the first round of that fight, but I'll tell you that I missed the first round off my own excitement. And then I was locked in for the second and third round. I probably didn't take my eyes off the screen, you know, besides when they were sitting, you know, in between the round. But I was locked in second and third. And I'll tell you, all I saw was, yo, our boy Whitaker beat that boy down, bro. That's all I know. He beat that boy down bad, bad, bad. And you know what's crazy is, you know, Keys loves to say this. We told y'all. All year, they were talking about doing that fight. Ever since, February when they had the Adesanya rematch? Right once he lost to Adesanya, they were talking about him and Vittori, like, maybe a couple weeks later, maybe a month after that, like March. I think they were already, like, in talks of doing it, because Whitaker wanted to get right back in there. And Vittori was coming off a win, and then he needed a fight. So they were talking about that, like, a month later. And so what did the boys tell y'all? We told y'all all year that he was going to beat Marvin Vittori down, and that was it. And he was going to show the difference, and he showed it. It was a big gap in between those two guys when they were in there. That's what I saw. There was a big skill gap. There was a big, massive skill gap between those two guys. And now I was like, damn, this isn't even, that wasn't even competitive. Like, that second and third round was not competitive. Like, He had Vittori shadow boxing in there. Like, Vittori was swinging that air. He couldn't even reach Whitaker. He couldn't find him. He didn't know where he was throwing. He didn't know what he was trying to hit. He looked like a defeated man in there. After that second round, he looked like a defeated man. He was like, oh, my goodness. Vittori was like, oh, man, we got to go in there for 5 more minutes? Oh, no, I can't even find this dude already. He disappeared. He's like, I swear he's invisible. Vittori was probably like, I swear he's invisible, coach. I can't see him. I don't know how to get to him. So that was crazy, bro. That off to Whitaker. He killed that, bro. He killed that. So I think now, you know, let's see. I don't know if they want. I don't know because he's staying 205, and I know Paulo Costa wants to fight Whitaker. So like that fight is there. What division is Paulo Costa?
He's in the same division as them two.
All right. I almost thought Costa was at 205 for a minute. Okay, so.
Nah, because Adesanya whooped him down.
Adesanya beat him down pretty bad. So that was the, and that was when they were both undefeated. It was like 18-0 versus 13-0 Costa at that time. And we told y'all about that too. That was the other thing. We've been told y'all about that. Like right when they were, like before they even made that fight, we were like, yeah, this is going to be bad. Didn't we say that?
Yeah, man. We said that was going to be bad, and it was bad. But the thing is, though, Keith, I'm going to throw this out there to you. And I know it won't happen, but I'm going to throw this out there. I think Robert Whittaker is the perfect guy right now for the UFC to do a cross promotion with. Have him go to Bellator and win their belt. I know it sounds crazy, but he's kind of stuck in a spot in the UFC right now. Cross promote him. Let him go to Bellator and try to win their belt. You know, and maybe you could get Pitbull Freire to come over to the UFC, and that way, you know, I would love to see it, but I know it won't happen, but it's just an idea.
Hold on, let me look this up, because now I'm Googling who's the Bellator middleweight champion. I thought Gegard Mousasi was the middleweight champion, but I want to say he lost recently.
Yeah, I want to say he lost to Johnny Emblem or something like that.
Hold on, let me look. So Mousasi's 49-8. This is the last fight. Oh yeah. Okay, so he did lose. He just lost in June. So he lost to Johnny Emblem.
Okay,
Bellator 282. You were right. So back in June, so he just lost the belt, I'm pretty sure. And, okay. Wow, he was on a run there for a while, too. Gegard won a lot of fights. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, a couple wins, and he lost. He won three, then lost one. Won four, then lost one. Damn, something about like 3-4 fights for Gegard. He loses like that fourth or fifth fight.
Even in the UFC.
Did he? It was the same way?
Yeah. Even when he was in the UFC, he would like win a couple fights then lose. And then is he the one that Dana White called boring, right? Said he hated the way he fought. Yeah, I think that's him.
I don't know.
I know that won't.
Johnny
I know that
Eblen,
won't happen.
I guess he would fight Eblen. It probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah,
though. You're right. I don't think Dana wants to cross promote anywhere. He's kind of, I mean, to his own kind of. I think that they're so big. UFC is so big. You know, they're so big on protecting the brand, like, and the aura around like UFC fighters. You know, I don't think they would want to send guys out. You know, and then. If they would potentially lose, you know, I feel like they would feel that it would hurt the brand, even though maybe it wouldn't. You know, maybe it would be, make it bigger. You know, I don't know. That would be a cool idea, though.
Yeah, it won't happen, but it's just crazy because, as you know, right now he's just in a tough spot. I mean, it's either that, like you said, he's going to have to move up. Or he's going to have to keep beating all these guys down and force the UFC hand. And do I see him forcing the UFC hand? Yes. But do I think he could beat Adesanya? I want to say the second fight was a lot more competitive than the first fight. I even want to say I may have gave him that fight. Did I give him that fight? I think I may have him winning that fight. 3 rounds or 2, because I think Adesanya started doing Adesanya things as far as not fighting and backing up and doing what he do, and I just don't like that. But, yeah, man, I just think he in a weird spot, but 205, you know, 205 might be the spot for him. You know, if he want to go out the championship goal in the UFC.
You think those guys would be too big for him?
Huh?
You think those guys would be, you think Whittaker would be too small to fight at 205, or they would be too big?
He might be at a disadvantage at the height, in the height department, but I think he'll have power. He'll still have the power in his hands, and he still got his cardio. He would just have to be really, really smart in the exchanges, and he might have to employ a little bit more wrestling in his game, you know, just to keep guys honest at 205.
So let me see. 1 second. We got somebody in the queue now. I just brought him in right now. Yo.
What's up, guys?
What up, Evan? How you going? How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Man, what's up,
just
Evan?
Doing good. Doing good. Happy to talk with you guys.
All right. Oh, the band's back together.
Yes, sir. We were just talking about, you probably heard it, we were just saying that, we were just talking about Whittaker's performance. I know this is a tough topic for you because Vittori's your boy, and, you know, he lost the fight, you know, kind of badly. He got dominated. And so the next topic from that was, I was saying how Whittaker would talk about 205 because he's kind of like, Whittaker's kind of like where Holloway was at. Like, Holloway ended up getting, like, leave and set out. Holloway, like, got a third fight, but I was saying that, like, I don't know if Dana White would even want to give Whittaker a third fight. And I don't know if Whittaker even thinks he'll get a third fight. So that's why he's talking about 205. And then, so I kind of like the 205 thing. And Lee was saying he would like to see a cross-promotion thing and maybe see Bobby go over and challenge for the Bellator middleweight champion. So that's how we ended up talking about who is the Bellator champ. I thought it was Gegard, and then we both remembered that we thought he had lost, and he did lose, so it's that other guy, Johnny Eblen. And basically, what would you like, or you could talk about either one, what you thought about that fight, and what do you think went wrong for Vittori in that fight, and then, you know, would you rather see 205 for Whittaker or something else?
Well, first things first is obviously congratulate Whittaker on the performance. It was stellar. I think Marvin's biggest downfall was he's just his range. I feel like he just doesn't throw his strikes far enough. And I don't think he has enough other weapons besides, like, you know, his striking. And the grappling didn't work against Whittaker, so he didn't have much else to offer. So, like I said, it was a great performance. I feel bad for him. As you mentioned, he's stuck in a position where he's not going to get a third fight with Izzy. It doesn't sell right now. Like, you know, Whittaker could keep winning, but I don't think it's smart business. I think if Alex wins, then that's the fight.
Yes.
I do think, you know, in the pipe dreams, a Bellator crossover. Even imagine send him to one championship. How fun would that be? You know, that'd be cool. I don't know who their middleweight. Actually, I believe their middleweight champion is a big wrestler.
Johnny Eblen. Johnny Eblen.
Yeah, he's like a wrestler of some sort. I remember watching that fight. I was very surprised at how good he was doing against Gegard. But as far as the 205 thing goes, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, I don't know if he, you know, why he ever fought at 170 and then coming up to 185. He looks good. I just don't think he will have enough power at 205. He'll definitely have the speed, but I think he might be very undersized. And, again, I just don't think the power will be there for 205. But, you know, I could be wrong, and he could be lighting dudes up at 205. So it's really up to him. You know, if Izzy wins against Alex, yeah, he's kind of he's kind of stuck. But that's why the cost of fight is probably next for Whitaker. So we'll see with that.
I like
I think one way you go up, and I'll just say this. I do think that it does change if Pereira wins. I think if Pereira is to beat Adesanya, which a lot of people, you know, the public opinion is making that seem very possible. I'm not saying the public is always right. It doesn't mean that it happens. But if he does win, I think that changes things for Whitaker. I think that changes the whole situation because you never know. I mean, obviously, Adesanya has been a champ for, like, a couple of years. He'll definitely get his rematch. But you never know if he's even – like, say we come to the point where he's not even able to beat Pereira. Like, if Adesanya just – if he's a guy that is 2-0 versus Adesanya and then becomes 3-0, and then they rematch and he beats him again, maybe – this is just a theory. I'm not saying this is fact. I'm going Chael Sonnen right here. This is Chael Sonnen moment. If Pereira is just that guy that has Adesanya's number and he's one of those guys, it's like John Jones was to DC. Like, DC just couldn't beat John Jones, even though they fought two times and not, you know, three or four times. But if that was the case and that's how it goes, I think that changes everything completely for Whitaker at 185, and it would be more enticing to put him back there at that point.
Yeah, I think if Pereira wins, it all comes down to Izzy. Does Izzy invoke his instant immediate rematch, or does Izzy take time? If Izzy decides to take time, then, yeah, you slide Whitaker in. But if Izzy does decide that he want to fight again right away or as soon as possible, then Whitaker's once again stuck with probably the Paulo Costa fight. So we'll just have to see how it play out. But, man, it's just hard for him right now. Especially with Tony Ferguson losing all three fights to Volkanovski. Although some people feel that he won the second fight, it don't matter what I feel. The record book says he's 0-3 against Volkanovski. So we just got to see. We just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah. And so now the next thing that I'll go to is that, you know, Whitaker's going to do that. We'll have to see. Now, how about this, y'all? How about this? I don't know if Evan's still on the call, but I'm sure he'll have something to say about this. Yo, how about – and I'm going to have to say this right now, Thule. I'm coming back. You know I love to say it. I told y'all about Tail Game. I told y'all. Back when he was 3-0, he was 3-0 as a pro. He hadn't even been to the UFC. He was just on the regional circuit, 3-0, straight beast. And now what? He's 11-0 or 12-0? And what was that? That was a classic. That was a classic fight. It's not like Kaito Vaz is a very dangerous fighter. You know what I mean? I feel like he's – when he did that thing during the fight and he faked that he was rocked and he almost looked like you ever play Mortal Kombat and, like, you daze a guy in Mortal Kombat and they're kind of like their head's kind of rounding. It's kind of like circling on his head. That's
yeah,
what Tuivasa did. Tuivasa got hit. Yo, I screen recorded that sequence on my phone because I couldn't believe how crazy that was. Like, Tuivasa almost gained head off and sent it into the nosebleed. Like, when he pretended he was rocked, that was some high – I feel like that was some high fight IQ right there. To fake that. And then Gaines started to step forward and went to go. He was going to take a shot right there. And luckily, he was able to react and he ducked it or whatever he did. But when you see the shot that Tuivasa threw in that moment, it looked like there was a ton of power in that shot. I feel like if Tuivasa would have, like, complete that moment that he tried to, like, do in that split second, like, he fakes it. And if Gaines did not duck it and just went right into that shot and Tuivasa hit him with that, I think he would have knocked
him been out,
bro. He would have been gone. That shot, like, I have the screen recording. I'll send it to both of you guys. You got to look at that shot again. Because Gane ducked a kill shot. Like, his head was going into the nosebleeds, 100%. Like, anybody anywhere was getting knocked out by that. Even Ngannou was getting knocked out cold by that. Like, if he got hit by that, he was gone. Anybody was gone. That was a kill shot. That looked so scary. And it's so crazy because he probably got so tired from missing that shot, having thrown so much power into it. Evan, you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to remember, honestly. All right, it's cool. I'll send it to you after this. I have the screen recording. I'll send it to you. And when you watch it back, like, watch it two times, and you'll see it was a kill shot. Like, and I didn't notice it live during the fight, and, like, I didn't even really – like, I saw it was too quick. Like, it just passed by too quick during the fight. So then when somebody posted it back on Twitter – I was like, yo, that was a kill shot. If Tsubasa ever connected, that was it. Tsubasa would be fighting for the title next. You know what I mean? He would be fighting the title next. But either way, you know, I still think he's right there. How do y'all go? What do you think about Tai Tsubasa and the fight and their performance? What do you think? Either one of you, whoever go.
All right. I thought Gane had a sensational performance. I thought he overcame adversity early. I think Tuivasa hit him, and I was like, whoa, all right. But once again, Gane composed himself, came out second round with composure, fought within himself. As we all know, Gane is probably one of the most athletic heavyweights in the division. I haven't seen John fight a heavyweight yet, so I'm going to go with Gane being the most athletic fighter in the division right now. And he put the athleticism on display against a very hard-hitting Tai Tuivasa. I thought I didn't think he would have a chance of beating Gane because of Gane's well-rounded skills. Gane is not a one-trick pony. He isn't a guy that you can just do one thing against to be successful. And I think Tai Tuivasa is he's a one-trick pony right now. If he doesn't knock you out, he ain't going to wrestle you. I haven't really seen him take anybody down to the mat and be effective in that. But Cyril Gane, man, great performance. I know we haven't talked about this, but, oh, my God, the crowd was so into it for all the French fighters, and it was good for all the French fighters to get that home cooking. They all went on the card, and Cyril Gane just put the icing on the cake with his performance. So I like Cyril Gane. I think he probably is going to be next for Francis Ngannou, but that's up in the air depending on if we get this interim heavyweight championship title fight between John Jones and Stipe Miocic. If John is full of shit, and my patience is wearing thin with John right now. John, if you don't want to fight, don't fight. Stop pulling everybody's strings. Stop trying to say that it's the UFC. Bruh, they not going to pay you no extra money. They not going to give you any extra money. So it's either you fight or you don't. If John Jones don't fight, I'd rather see Cyril Gane versus Stipe for the interim heavyweight title. And then once Ngannou comes back, we unify the belt. So that's where I'm at with it, man. Good win by Cyril Gane. Tai Tuivasa needs to go add some things, put some more tools in his tool belt. Because in today's UFC, today's MMA, I don't care if it is a heavyweight division. You're not winning if you are a one-trick pony. That just isn't going to work anymore.
Well, Evan, you want to go?
No, you're good. Go ahead.
All right. Well, in that case, I'll say this. You know, not exactly related, tangentially related, but I'll say Cyril Gane brings Cyril Gane brings a new element to heavyweight division. He brings a new level of athleticism to heavyweight division. Because in a division where you bring where you have one round fighters, obviously he's not a one round fighter, but we all expect that, like, okay, this guy's going to be exhausted by the start of the bell at round two. Okay, that's like, that's expected in the heavyweight division. And it's like, okay, these guys, you know, they're not going to have a gas tank. You know, the cardio's not there. That's expected of most of these guys. I mean, also, shout out to Tuivasa, because I want to say that was third round, maybe third. Yeah, I think third round.
Third round.
But he was rocking in the third round still. I thought he looked good. He was in there. I didn't think, like, oh, he's tapped out. Like, he looked tired, but I don't think, not the way that, like, that I expect with heavyweights, where it's like they look like they're fighting underwater at that point. Like, I didn't really feel like it was like that. Like, Tuivasa was in there 100%. You know, he was tired, but he was in there. And, no, I just think Gane brings that level of athleticism to where it's like you're going to need, you know, it's good that Ngannou added that element to his game, because you're going to need guys adding things to their game to beat Gane. You know what I'm saying? I think that's a big thing. It's like if Ngannou wasn't able to wrestle, and even if Ngannou was 100% healthy, I don't know if non-wrestler Ngannou 100% healthy beats Gane. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. I think I would go with Gane on that. Like, I don't think Ngannou is going to stand there and outbox him. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think so. I mean, obviously, anybody can land a shot. We saw him get knocked down for the first time. You know, anybody can lose, but I just think Gane is a very high standard right now over the heavyweights. And, yeah, and I still agree with what you said. I mean, I still think Gane needs to add more weapons. You know what I'm saying? He still needs to work on his grappling, still needs to be able to deal with the adversity when he gets taken down. You know, eventually when he rematches Ngannou, which 100% that's going to happen, you know, they will rematch at some point. And, you know, he needs to be able to deal with that when he gets taken down. He needs to work on his wrestling and grappling, you know what I mean? Work on everything you can,
yeah.
You know, so you're not a one-trick pony.
Totally agree.
And so, you know, what I would say at this point is, you know, we could definitely take a look at UFC 279. Let me pull up this card. We got to Whitaker. We got to Gane. Good. I don't want to talk about the Nate Diaz stuff because that could just take a while. I mean, Nate Diaz was talking about John Jones in the interview, and he basically said, like, John Jones, he don't really, like, see Jones in the GOAT combo because Jones used steroids. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it, but that's what everybody's going to say. And really, anybody that's a fan of John Jones, you really can't be mad about that, because when you talk about the best of the best, you want the best of the best to be clean. So, I mean, I really can't argue about that, but if you look at it, you still got to say that John, before he tested positive or whatever, look at what he did. So, but I agree with Nate. I can't argue that point. I agree with him. That's why I say Demetrius Johnson, I don't know why people don't give him his flowers, because look at what the guy's done in two organizations, and he's been clean. So, yeah, I can't argue with Nate on that.
And yo, did we get to talk about that? What DJ did? Did we get to talk about that?
No, we didn't.
Damn, we didn't even bring that up. Oh, because that was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, we was off last week.
All right, and that happened, you know, the weekend before we would have been on. I'm pretty sure. So, man, yeah, let's just give a few minutes right here. Oh my goodness, let me just say, that's another one that I had a screen record and watch back, because I didn't even fully see what happened. Like, I wasn't watching it live because I don't have Amazon Plus or whatever it is that you could get on it with.
Uh-huh.
But so I wasn't able to watch it live, but because I know before they did the one event on cable, but I wouldn't have even been able to watch that because I got rid of my cable. So, I couldn't watch that card. And then when I did watch it back, I didn't even fully see what happened. But it was so awesome because nobody was talking about how Demetrius Johnson faked the flying knee, the left flying knee. He, like, choreographed it. He went to go throw it. And then, Morais reacted to thinking that the left knee was coming. So then he was open to the right, to the right hand. Demetrius lands the right hand, which rocked him. He was wobbled, and then he was wobbled, and he was backing up, and he was evading. Demetrius chases him into the cage. Morais falls back, hits the cage, and then Demetrius throws the initial left knee that he was, that he choreographed right before that. So he faked it. Morais went to react to the left knee. Demetrius says, nope, throws the right hand, boom, wobbles him. Morais was completely blindsided to the right hand. He's evading backwards. DJ follows him up to the cage and then throws that left flying knee that he wanted to throw. And then what was even more excruciating, terrifying was that the knee, he wedged Morais's head in between the, like, it was like he kneed Morais's head into the cage. Like, if you look at it up close, like, it was, I don't know how to really describe it. You just got to look at the video. But, like, he pretty much smashed Morais's head into the cage with his knee. Like, he, like, sandwiched his head with his knee. It was, that's the best way I could put it. They sandwiched Morais's head between the cage and DJ's knee, bro. That is crazy. That's what they put it. They sandwiched them. And you know what's even more terrifying and diabolical, and DJ even, I think he even said it was diabolical, was that him and his coach planned it to land that way. They were like, once we landed it, if, like, we had the opportunity or whatever, we wanted it to land in that exact way. We planned it that way. And I was like, yo, that's some devastating shit, bro. That is so dope, though. Like, you know how happy I was when I saw he did that? Man, I was smiling, bro. I was so happy in my crib. I was like, let's go, bro. I was so pumped. Because when I watched him lose the first fight, I was like, damn. Like, I was so excited. I watched that. I think they had that on cable. I watched it. He lost. I was like, damn, bro. I was deflated. And then when he came back and then seeing him rise up, he beat that dude, Rod Tang, bro. He struck with Rod Tang and then got past the strike and chokes him out, bro. That's crazy. Beats that dude, Rod Tang, and then comes back and then sandwiches Morais's head in between the cage, bro, to win the belt. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yo, Lee, you got to talk about this, bro. I'm going off. You got to take it.
I'm going to keep it real short and sweet. I wrote a piece on Demetrius Johnson a few weeks back. Just go to my Twitter, find it. Shameless plug. It ain't shameless. Hell, it's our show. Hell, we can plug our own stuff. But I was worried about how he was going to manage the reach and height of Morais. Man, DJ came out the first round, closed the distance. I was like, man, Morais is in trouble if he keep letting DJ close the distance. Second round, DJ just started landing jabs. Like, DJ shouldn't be able to land jabs on the guy with a reach advantage and a height advantage. Man, when it came to that knockout, that knee was so perfectly placed and the timing was so on point. And to make it so more awesome is he did a walk-off with it. He didn't even hit him no more. He kneed him and walked away and put his hands up. I was like, man, Demetrius Johnson is, man, he is just awesome. He is just awesome. And I think the best part about it is, Keys, and you know how I feel about Henry Cejudo. I really don't like Henry Cejudo antics and stuff like that. But the first person, I want to say maybe not the first person that DJ talked to, but he called Henry Cejudo and said, man, thanks for the training sessions. You told me that, you know, my knees were dangerous and all this. And it just goes to show you, man, that sometimes even the best go out and get even more information from some of the top fighters in the game. And I like the DJ called and the knowledge that with Henry Cejudo. But it's good to see him put what he trained on to use in the actual fight. And the way he did it, how many other fighters could have put that combination together, that knockout combination together that he did with the precision and the speed and the technique that he did? I would say maybe three guys. I'm not just going out on a limb. Maybe three fighters in the world could do that outside of DJ. But I'm going to say he's definitely, definitely, he's in the GOAT conversation, bro. He's in the GOAT conversation. And I was so happy for him to win, man, because after he won, after the way he lost that first fight, I just didn't see a way. I was just like, man, I just don't see how he can negate his reach or his height. And lo and behold, he came back. And what's the one thing we always say about Demetrius Johnson? When he fight an opponent twice, he always come back better in the second fight. And it held true again this time, man. Congratulations to DJ, bro.
Hell yeah, bro. And of course he's in the GOAT. If you don't think he's in the GOAT conversation, you crazy. Don't even at me on Twitter, bro. Don't even add us on Twitter if he ain't in your GOAT conversation. I don't want to talk to y'all no more. I'm done with y'all hot takes. Ain't no GOAT conversation. Go watch Bellator. If he ain't in a GOAT conversation, go watch Getting Mad Back with Cunt. All right, anyways, let's go. So, main card time. Here we go. We got Johnny Walker and Eon Q to Labor. Evan, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Who you got in this one, Johnny Walker and Eon Q to Labor?
keep it short and sweet. Honestly, I think Kutaleva will get the job done. I think he'll knock Walker out. I think, you know, Walker in his last fight, he's just very, what's the word I'm looking for? Just very sporadic, very wild. And, you know, his chin is just not able to take the punishment of being wild and getting caught trying to do that. So I think Kutaleva, he's also a little chinny for that division, but I think he's a little bit more patient and precise with the striking that he'll be able to land on Walker, and that'll be it. But, you know, Johnny Walker has said that he's quit some things, made some adjustments, and, you know, we'll see another version of him. So we'll see. But with that being said, I'm taking Kutaleva by a first-round knockout.
And I'm going to piggyback that. I'm taking Kutaleva also in this fight. I'm going to go one round later. I'm going to go second round TKO. I've just never really been on the Johnny Walker hype train. And when he's in a real fight, a fight, it just seems like it just becomes overwhelming from him. When he can come out and dictate the pace and be the aggressor, he's a very nice fighter. But when he has to make adjustments, have to really fight, it just doesn't seem like it's in his DNA. So, yeah, I'm taking Kutaleva in this fight. I think he wins the fight second round TKO.
Yeah, I'm going Kutaleva as well. I think I'm going to go with Evan, first round knockout. I think the – actually, I'm going to go first round TKO. I think they'll stop it by the striker. I don't think it'll be like he'll get flatlined, but I think the ref will probably just stop him, you know, from too many strikes. And the reason is that if John – there's two things that happened here, two things. And people talk about him going to SCG Island, and obviously that's – they don't really produce winning fighters. I mean, the only winning fighter they've ever produced was Conor McGregor, and now – I'm pretty sure Ian Garry is out of SBG Island, and he's so far a winning fighter, but we've only seen a little bit of him so far, so let's see how he goes. But besides them, they don't really produce winning fighters. And so Johnny Walker went to SBG Island. That's one thing that went wrong. But the two main things that I think went wrong before that was, one, ever since he did the worm after one of his post-fight wins,
and dislocated his shoulder.
bro, ever since that moment when he did the worm and dislocated his shoulder, he has never been the same. He's never been the same. Bro, everything that he used to do right went out the window. He completely dropped everything. Everything was different. Ever since he hit the floor and did the worm and dislocated his shoulder, the bouncy footwork was gone. You know what I mean? His feints, like, you know, he would like bounce in and out. You know what I mean? He would come in and out of his opponent's range. You know, he never would just kind of be right there. You know, you'd never have guys chasing him down or anything. It would always be, you know, he would control the range. He would come in and out of his opponent's range. He had the bouncy footwork. He'd throw feints. You know, he would throw these long kicks because he does have long legs. You know, he was able to do that, throw kicks from a distance. Like, he would do stuff like that, and it was like ever since he did the worm, everything went out the window, and then he's never been the same. The bouncy footwork has never been seen since. I've never seen him bounce on his feet in the cage since. He looks flat-footed a lot of the time, and, you know, unless he comes in with the bouncy footwork in this fight, he has no chance. He has no chance. If he does not bounce when he gets in there, it sounds funny, but if his feet are not bouncing, you know it's over. He comes in flat-footed, you know it's over. And that's the moment I'll say. First round TKO, if he does not bounce on his feet, he ain't getting out of the first round.
So basically, we have to see him fight the way that he was fighting when the hype train was born. I can get with that. All right. Yo, Keys, you ready?
My bad, y'all. I just wanted to get that tweet out real quick. At Lee and Keys, real talk. Okay, so.
All right.
At Lee and Keys, real talk. Add us on Twitter. All right, here we go. So this is a quick one for me. Irene Aldana defeats Macy Chiasson by unanimous decision. Okay, Evan, go ahead.
Irene Aldana decision.
I can't go against Aldana, man. I just like her, man. I think she got – I don't know what happened with her against in the Holly Holm fight. Actually, I thought she won that fight. So I like her in this fight. Macy Chiasson is going to be a tough out for her. But, yeah, man, I'm going to Aldana to win this fight. I'm going to say, yeah, unanimous decision. But I wouldn't be surprised if she submitted her, though. But let's go.
13-6. Yeah, Aldana's just likable. That's all that is. She's just likable fighter. That's what it is.
That's one of your girls, though, ain't it?
Yo, that's pretty much my favorite, like, female to watch, bro. Come on. Like, that's the only one that I'm like, damn, Aldana's on? Okay, let's go. Like, you know, I got to sit down for this. You know what I mean? Everything else is just like, all right, like, yeah, here we go. Like, you know, Aldana's okay, here we go. All right, we're sitting down. I got my drink. Let's go. So, anyways, all right, so we got Kevin Holland and Daniel Rodriguez. So, Daniel Rodriguez, I didn't know him until he fought. He wasn't on my radar until he fought. Evan would probably know this. Evan, who's the guy Daniel Rodriguez just fought his last fight? And it kind of like, it was like his first, like, you know, name fight. Who was it that he fought?
Hold on. I'm just
Kevin
shocked
Lee?
On. Oh, was it Kevin Lee?
Who he fight?
It was Kevin
yeah,
Lee.
Yeah,
wow.
Kevin Lee.
See,
oh,
damn,
that was
like
2021,
okay.
Though.
Yeah, I think, what's his name? I think Rodriguez had an injury.
Yeah,
but
that
Rodriguez
was Kevin Lee
him,
back
though.
In 2021. Yeah. He
yeah,
beat,
Rodriguez, that was like his first. That was when he got on my – and you know what's funny? He's fighting another guy named Kevin. What's up with this guy and fighting guys named Kevin, bro? What's up with him?
Well,
you know
I'm
what?
Looking at his record, and he doesn't really have any, like – he beat Tim Means. That's a name by submission. And he beat Mike Perry, who I never thought was a good fighter. And he beat Kevin Lee. So, I mean, he done fought some okay guys. So, yeah, all right, let's go.
Nah, so here's how we go, bro. Let's Kevin stick together, man. Kevin Holland's about to beat that boy down. And what I think it'll be is, I think Kevin Holland's going to submit him, bro. I think Kevin Holland's going to put hands on him. You know, he's going to touch him up early on, and then you're going to see a submission a little bit. This is a three-round fight? Oh, it's a catchweight bout. What? They're fighting a catchweight? What's the catchweight?
Yeah. Right, let me look it up real quick.
180.
I thought they're in the same division. What the hell is a catchweight?
They're both 170, but the fight was made way too last minute, so they agreed at 180.
Oh, and they couldn't cut weight?
Yeah, it wasn't worth it.
I like seeing that. I'd rather see guys do that and do a catchweight.
Me too.
Than, you know, guys trying to lose, you know, 30 pounds in 6 days and all this other crazy shit. Like, they were talking about, you guys saw that viral photo, and they were talking about how Alex Pereira weighs like 226 or something right now, like 220. And they're like, oh, like he's got to lose, you know, 40 something pounds or like 40, I think it's 42 pounds between now and, you know, November or whatever it is. And they're like, that's way too much weight. And I'm like, bro, these guys, like, they got to stop blowing up every time they don't fight, man. Like, hey, Lee, you know I love to say it, bro. We told y'all for years we said it. Lee, how many years we've been saying that? That fighters, A, rather see them do a catch weight than cutting this ridiculous weight to where you see, what's her name there, bantamweight. Man, she was falling off the scale, bro. It's like fighters like that. You know, you end up seeing them fall. Aspen Ladd. You've seen Aspen Ladd, you know, shaking. She ended up falling down when she was trying to weigh in because she tried to come cutting weight. And it's like, and then Max Holloway, when he was trying to cut weight that other time, he was trying to cut weight on really short notice. And then they said when he was on the ESPN broadcast, he was showing signs of a stroke. They said his eyes didn't look right and all this. And he's talking to them. They said he was having, I think they said there was like signals of a stroke. Then he got like sent to the hospital and they pulled him from the fight. And it's like, I would rather see guys do these catch weights and shit. You know, they fight at 180, but it counts for the same, you know, ranking at 170. Just let them do that instead of saying, oh, you got to cut all that weight down and get down to weight. And it's like, then you got guys cutting, you know, double digits, you know, in a single week or even a couple weeks. And whatever it is like an unhealthy amount of weight for your body to just shed off, especially with the ways that they do it. Like, they're going in saunas and stuff like that, and you're like, you know, you're dripping the weight, you're melting the weight off. So, anyways. You know, Kevin Holland, we're going with the Key Special. Kevin Holland's going to choke him out. It's the cousin of the Key Special. This is a third-round submission, Kevin Holland.
Oh, man. Who you got, Evan?
So I really like both guys. I think both are very talented. I do wonder how high Daniel Rodriguez's ceiling is. Because as you mentioned, Lee, he's beaten some guys, but he's not really beaten that guy that really tells you where his skill level is. You know, beating a Kevin Lee or a Mike Perry is just not, it's not as good as a win as you want to think it is. But for Kevin Holland, he's got decent wins. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, the Jacare win was good. The Tim Means win looks great. Alex Oliveira win. You know, they might not be the best names, but they're good wins, and that's what I'm looking at. But as far as this fight goes, one thing that's going to be concerning is Daniel Rodriguez has never been finished before in his professional career. He's lost two decisions, and one of them was a little bit of an iffy decision to Nicholas Dolby. So. We're curious about that one to get that one back. But moving on, with all that said and done, I think this fight is – I'm taking Daniel Rodriguez by decision.
Wow.
Can't go against him. I don't know why. Can't go against him.
The only chance Daniel Rodriguez has in this fight is he has to take Kevin Holland down. The two fights, the two recent fights that Kevin Holland lost to Vettori and Derek Brunson, when he got taken down, he couldn't get back to his feet. he looks like a turtle on his back when he gets taken down. So that's the only chance Daniel Rodriguez has in this fight. Can he take Kevin Holland down, and can he keep him down, and can he do damage while he's down? If he can't do any of those, there's no chance he wins this fight. That being said, I'm going to take Kevin Holland in this fight. I think it goes the distance. I think both guys are going to put on a nice performance. They got a nice little spot on the card being the third fight, you know, on the main event card. So I like Kevin Holland, man. Kevin Holland, I'm going to go unanimous decision. I say he 29-28. I think it's 29-28 all across the board. I think Dane Rodriguez is good enough to get at least one round. So I'm going to take Kevin Holland, UD.
All right, the moment we've all been waiting for. This is, do I say, the people's main event, Tony Ferguson, back again at welterweight. Well, not again, he's just at welterweight. I've never even seen him fight at welterweight. I know he did before. I think he fought at welterweight when he was on The Ultimate Fighter. And I think he won it at welterweight, too. That was the season he won, was the welterweight. But I never saw that. So this is the first time I've seen him at welterweight. And Yi Jingliang is tough, man. He's tough. But I think Tony's going to look good at welterweight, dog. I think Tony's going to beat him down, bro. I think so. I think because, you know what? When I looked at the picture of him at 155 and then 170, I think he's more – it looks more natural for him at the 170 weight. He looks happier. And I think that'll play a factor here. And I thought he looked good versus Chandler. So, obviously, he got finished. But I thought he was looking good in that fight. So I think he's coming back around, and a lot of people don't believe so, but I don't care about a lot of people. So I got Ferguson. I think, I think I'm going to go Ferguson submission too, man. I think Ferguson, I'm going to go with the keys special again. I'm going to go third round submission.
All right, Evan, who you got, bud?
The leech, Li Jingliang, is going to knock out Tony Ferguson. It's just another sacrificial lamb. This is a terrible fight for Tony. I feel terrible that the UFC did this to him. But the UFC decided to give Tony Ferguson, guy who is, one, I think 4 years younger than him, two, he has much more power than him and is probably stronger than him, and three, has never been knocked out in his career. He's been submitted twice, once by Hamza Chimaev, once by some random person I don't know, but this is a terrible fight. Leech is going to obliterate Ferguson, and I feel terrible, but I think we're going to see a first-round knockout for Leech. He's going to start fast because he's bigger, he's better. And, yeah, Tony's going to bed. Sorry.
Oh, man, I was leaning towards Li Jingliang also. I'm definitely a fan of Tony Ferguson's. I just don't like this matchup for him moving in the weight, going up against a guy that's so tough. And a guy that's fought some names, man. Chimaev, Ponzinibbio, Magny, Jake Matthews. This guy's definitely Diego Lima. So he's fought some guys. So it ain't like he's a new guy or a guy that hasn't, you know, fought top-notch competition. I do like that Tony moved up. I thought stand down at 155. I think he was at 155, right? We'll see 145. Yeah, I just thought it was time for him to move up. You know, sometimes, you know, cutting weight doesn't enhance your skills, and it doesn't enhance your ability to win fights. Sometimes it hinders your ability to win fights. So I think Tony probably fighting closer to his walk-around weight is probably better for his body. I do like that he got improved head movement, and I thought he was and I thought he was doing a hell of a job against Chandler too, till he got caught. But I'm gonna go Li Jianlin, man. I think Li Jianlin won a tough fight against Tony Ferguson. I'm gonna go with a split decision, man. I think Ferguson is gonna be game. I don't think he gets finished in this fight. I think he has a good showing, but just a tough opponent, man. So I'm gonna go with Li to win this fight by split decision.
All right, and the main event. This one's pretty easy for me. I think Chimaev will win this fight pretty early, maybe even in the first round, maybe second round. First to second round, I'm not going to pick a round. I think in the first two rounds. And I'm not going to say how it'll be because he could probably finish it in any way he wants, you know, whether it's, you know, TKO, you know, they stop him, you know, too many strikes. He's just, like, smashing Nate Diaz or, you know, chokes him out. You know, whatever it is, I think Chimaev by finish in the first two rounds is how it'll go. But I would love to see Diaz, you know, shock us all and win. That's what I'll say. I would love to see that. I really would. That's my prediction.
Go ahead, Evan.
Oh, excuse me. My apologies. Yes, it's the clear sacrificial lamb fight. Hamzat should obliterate him very quickly. Like, he should not make this, you know, he shouldn't make it exciting. He should literally do what Ronda used to do and just finish fights in, like, 16 seconds because it's no one really wants to see this fight. It's clear that there's levels to it. And, you know, Nate might have the level in striking, but he definitely doesn't have the power. And he definitely doesn't have the wrestling or strength. So it's such a mismatch, and it's just sad that this is what had to happen. Plus, if you read interviews, Nate has said that he has stopped preparing. He's not even training for this fight. And I'm like, I wouldn't even be surprised if he walked into the cage and just tapped the mat as soon as the fight started and just quit right there and then, said, you know, a big, you know, middle finger to the UFC. But with that being said, yeah. Hamzat by however he wants, whenever he wants.
Man, I really, 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 really want to see Nate Diaz turn back the hands of time and go back to when he beat Conor the first time. I want to see that Nate Diaz go against Hamzat in this fight. Is there a chance that we see that Nate Diaz? My heart wants to say yes, but my brain know the answer is no. I think Nate Diaz is so over the UFC. I think he'll go in and give it what he has, but I just don't think I think he's just fighting this fight to get out of his contract and be done with the UFC and move on. But would I be happy as hell if they was to win this fight? Yes, I would be. But do I think he can win the fight? If he was training and if he was putting everything he had into it, I would pick him. But I just can't pick him because I don't trust what I'm going to see. Nate, it would have to be a Nate type of fight for him to go in there and be the Nate that we all see. And what I mean by that is that he's going to have to be touching up Hamzat at least 20 to 25 times each round. And that's with his strikes. I don't see Hamzat taking that many punches. I see as soon as he feels himself getting touched up, he's going to take Nate down. Even though Nate is good on the ground, Hamzat is just as good on the ground. So I'm going to take Hamzat in this fight. I don't think Nate gets, man, do I want to see Nate Diaz get knocked out of his last fight in the UFC? I'm going to go Hamzat, man. I'm going to go referee stoppage due to blood in the fourth round.
like it. I like
it. So, yeah, I'm going with that, man. I mean, but let's all be honest, man. We love to see Nate really go back and be Nate Diaz for one fight. And that this would be the fight I would love to see him go and be Nate, because I think if he could incorporate his striking with his good mat game, I think he could have Khamzat in a lot of trouble in this fight. I think Khamzat wouldn't rush in to try to finish him. You know, if he was to hit him and he fell down, I think he would probably pay the price. But man, Nate is just one of them guys that I think he's him and John Jones is two guys that you're never gonna win this fight against the UFC. And they just keep on trying to fight it, and you are not going to win. So I think he walks out with a loss. I think he talks a lot of stuff at the post-fight show in the ring if he doesn't get knocked out. So, yeah, Nate, I got Khamzat winning fourth round TKO doctor stoppage.
Nice.
All right, there you have it. That's the card. We'll close out on that note. Going to be good regardless. I can't wait for the fights on Saturday. Thank you to everybody who listens. Evan, thank you for calling in. I'm going to take you out of the queue, and we're going to finish up with our closing credits right here. Appreciate
all right,
you
Evan,
calling in,
good, bro.
And, you know, on that note, this is the way that I'll close it. I'll say this. I want to dedicate this show to one of my favorite rappers that passed away. He passed away on Sunday. His name is Pat Stay. If you do, you know, the first thing you'll hear about him, well, to be clear, he's one of the best battle rappers ever in history, and, you know, a true pioneer of the culture, genuine dude. Obviously, I didn't know him personally. I never met him before, but I did get, you know, I was lucky enough to get to see him perform live twice. Me and my brother saw him perform on two occasions, and that was really dope. So I'm glad that I was able to see him, you know, perform live those two times. You know, I'm grateful to have been able to have those experiences. And I'll say it's unfortunate because, you know, he didn't deserve, you know, the ending that he got. I'll say that, you know, unfortunately, he was murdered, and, you know, I have to point that out. You know, a lot of people wouldn't point that out. I'm going to point that out because I don't think he deserved the ending that he got. I mean, he didn't deserve to go that way. You know, he's 36 years of age, great dude, always trying to lift people up. You know what I mean? A lot of humor. Always making people laugh, just like a real ass dude, you know what I mean? And I felt cried a few times, you know, when I heard that he was gone. You know, when I heard they took him from us, I cried a few times over that, and I never met him before. But that just goes to show, you know, that he touched a lot of lives, you know, and it definitely touched my life, definitely left a mark on me, you know, very much. Because, you know, I get choked up talking about it. You know, it's one of those things you feel like you grew up with people, you know. That's kind of the way that it feels with that dude. I've watched his content for many years. And, you know, right when I had interest in battle rap many years ago, probably, you know, 2010, like way back, like my brother, that was the first name he ever brought up to me. He said, I think his first recommendation was, hey, I really think you like this guy, Pat Stay. That was the first name he ever brought up to me when he was trying to put me on to battle rap, and I was a fan ever since. And I've watched a lot of his content over the years, and like I said, luckily, I was able to see him perform live twice, and I'm really grateful, you know, for those experiences. So that's what I would say. I would dedicate this show to my boy, Pat Stay, and, you know, rest in paradise, or rap in paradise. Yeah, rap in paradise, you know, to one of the greatest to ever hit a stage, and a really genuine, great dude.
Yeah, rest in power to your man, Keys. And on that note, hey, we just going to end the show. as always, we like to say, live your life to the fullest, ride this mother till the wheels fall off, and it's only one of you, and be the best you you can be. Lee and Key signing out, as always. We end the show with a peace.